morning.
Good morning.
How's everybody this morning?
Fantastic.
All right. Hey, I see some recognizable faces, and I see some new faces, so that is really good. If you are a guest with us this morning, welcome. We are so grateful for the fact that you've chosen to come and worship with us today. And hopefully you received a welcome packet when you came in. Inside that welcome packet is a little card. If you just take a moment, fill that out, and then drop that in the offering plate in a little while, or just leave it at the information table, that would be so helpful to us. Hopefully when you came in as well, you received a bulletin. Hopefully everybody else received a bulletin. Did you get one? It's very important for you to be able to have one. So if you have a bulletin, open it up and let's take a look at what's going on right after our morning service. We are having Sunday school at about 11:30-ish. And so we have Sunday school for kids all the way through adults. So if you are a guest with us and that might be something you would be interested in, we'd love to have you be able to join us. Also, leader men, those of you that are a part of the leadership team, we need to have a very quick meeting, very brief meeting, right after the morning service. And let's gather up here by the piano so that we can take care of that little bit of business that we have this morning. And then, men, we have our regularly scheduled leadership team meeting on Tuesday night at 6:30 p.m. here at the church. Thursday night, we have Awana. Saturday, ladies, there's a ladies' Christmas party, and this is open to all of the ladies. If you are a guest and you would like to come and you would like to be a part of it, that would be great. Except there's a sign-up sheet out on the information table, and today's the last day to sign up. So if you'd like to be a part of the Christmas party but you haven't signed up, then make sure that you do that. There's information regarding the ladies' Christmas party that's coming up next Saturday. If you have any questions, see Becky or see Tammy, and they'll be happy to be able to answer those questions for you. Our Daily Bread devotional books for the next quarter that began on December 1st are out on the information table. And so if you use those or you'd like to use those, they're out there for you. Also from our Daily Bread, we also received some little booklets called 10 Reflections, O Holy Night, The Carols of Christmas. Those are out there for you to be able to take and be able to distribute to your family or to your friends. We're also planning a baptismal service, so if you've been thinking or praying about being baptized, see me or one of our elders, and we'd love to be able to help you be able to get prepared for that. It's not a big process, so it's nothing for you to have to really be concerned about, but we are going to be doing a baptismal service here in the very near future. We're also going to have a congregational meeting, and that's going to be on December 17th following the morning service. So I hope you have that on your calendar because this will be a very important meeting. It's always a very important meeting for us to be able to do. Lots of information in the bulletin. That's why it's important for you to be able to have one. All right, are you glad you're here this morning?
Yeah.
How many of you are glad you're here this morning? Raise your hand. How many of you aren't glad? How many of you, the jury's still out? All right, well, we're going to pray that the Holy Spirit makes you glad that you were here this morning. Amen?
Amen.
All right, you ready to be blessed?
Wait, hey, Sam. I think it's some people's birthday today.
Oh, is it really? Yeah. Oh, yeah, it is. Well, especially one.
For a minute there, Don thought he was getting out of it. Sorry, pal.
All right. All right, Don, come on up here. I can embarrass him because he's my son-in-law. All right, we're going to sing Happy Birthday to him.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Don. Happy birthday to you.
All right, so as you greet him sometime today, make sure that you wish him individually a happy birthday as well. Now, let's lift our voices in praise to God. Amen?
Amen. Amen. Would y'all stand with me this morning? We're going to sing some songs that are some classic Christmas songs that you're going to know. And we're going to sing some other songs that praise our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So would you join with me this morning?
Over the skies of Bethlehem appeared a star. The wild angels sang to lowly shepherds. shepherds. Three wise men seeking truth traveled from afar, hoping to find the child from heaven. Falling on their knees, they bowed before the humble Prince of Peace. I bring an offering of worship to my King. No one on earth deserves the praises that I sing. Jesus, may you receive the honor that you're due. Oh, the sun cannot compare to the glory of your love. There is no shadow in your presence. No mortal man would dare to stand before your throne, before the Holy One of Heaven. It's only by your blood, and it's only Lord, I come. I bring an offering of worship to my King. No one on earth deserves the praises that I sing. Jesus, may you receive the honor that's your due. Oh, Lord, I bring an offering to you. Offering to you.
Heavenly Father, we have come this morning because of you. We've come here this morning because of what you've done for us. We've come here this morning to celebrate Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for Jesus.
What hope we hold this starlit night. A King is born in Bethlehem. Our journey long, we seek the light that leads to the hallowed manger ground. What fear we felt in the silent age, 400 years, can he be found? But broken by a baby's cry, rejoice in the hallowed manger ground. Emmanuel, Emmanuel, God incarnate, here to here born to believe, a crown of thorns would pierce his brow, and he beheld this offering, exalted now, the King of Kings. Praise God for the hallowed manger ground. Emmanuel, Emmanuel. Emmanuel, Emmanuel.
Go ahead and be seated as we continue this morning.
What child is this who laid to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch are keeping? Is this his Christ the King, whom shepherds such mean estate, where ox and ass are feeding? Good Christian, fear for sinners here, the silent word is pleading. This bishop is improved, the cross be borne for me, for you. The babe, the Son of Mary. So bring him incense, gold and myrrh. Come, peasant king, to own him. The King of Kings salvation brings. Let loving hearts enthrone him.
We're so thankful today for that babe that was born 2,000 years ago on our behalf. And Lord, thank you so much that he died to pay our price of sin and to open up a door for us through faith to live with you eternally. Lord, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We lift you up today, Lord, because of your greatness, because of your mercy. I will give thanks to thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing praises to thee among the nations. For thy steadfast love is great, is great to thy heavens, and thy faithfulness to the clouds. Be exalted, O God, above thy are going to take this morning's offering, and we're going to sing you a little song about Mary. Did you know?
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would someday baby boy has come to make you new. This child that you've delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will calm the storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels strong? Of God, Mary, did you know? Oh, Mary, did you know? The blind will see, the deaf will hear. The dead will live again. The lame will leap, the dumb will speak, the praises of the Lamb. Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy was heaven's perfect lamb? This sleeping child you're holding is the great I am.
Thank you, worship team. There's a lot to think about in that song, isn't there? All right, children, come on down. We'll get you ready for children's church. Good morning. Y'all awake? Maybe? Okay. All right. Let's pray. Father, we are just so grateful for the opportunity we've had to be able to just think about really what Christmas is all about. And Father, I know that it's just the beginning part of December, but Father, I'm so thankful that we can come to this place this morning to be able to hopefully have our focus turned on what Christmas really is all about. The celebration, the fact that you loved us so much, that you sent your son from the glory and the splendor of heaven to come to this earth, yes, to be born in a little city called Bethlehem, but to grow to be a man who lived a perfect sinless life so that he could go to the cross to be the perfect sacrifice that you required for the payment of our sin. And Father, as we've already expressed to you this morning, for that we are so thankful. And Father, I pray that our thanks will be reflected not only in the praise that we've offered up to you, not only in the gifts that maybe we've given to you as we had opportunity this morning to take an offering for you, but Father, I pray that we will show our thankfulness to you by the way that we choose to live this truth out in our lives. So Father, as we hear your word, Father, may we not just be hearers, but Father, may we take what it is that you give to us out into our community, out into our neighborhoods, out into our school, out into our workplace, out into our homes, to be able to really focus on what Christmas is all about. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, go and have a good time. While they're being dismissed, turn with me, if you will, to Luke chapter 1. So obviously, we're setting aside are studying the book of Acts for this Christmas season. And so this morning we're beginning a seasonal sermon series today by focusing on the very first Christmas carols. Now, we sang some Christmas carols this morning, didn't we? But do you realize that that Christmas carol singing didn't just start in the 19th or 20th or into the 21st century? Long, long time ago, people were singing Christmas music. So the theme for our Christmas sermon series is this: listening to Christmas music. Now, you probably already been listening to Christmas music, and probably some of you have probably been listening all year long. Some of you might have started before Thanksgiving. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands to which category you fit in. Some of you waited until after Thanksgiving, like me, to be able to start listening to Christmas music. And there's four songs which are going to make up our Christmas music series for the next few weeks. Today, we're going to listen to Zacharias' Chorus for Christmas. Next week, we're going to tune into Mary's Music of Christmas. See what I'm doing here? That pretty cool? Then we will worship along with the Salvation Song by Simeon. And then our last sermon, right before Christmas, we'll hear the angels raise and hallelujah. Now, these pieces of prophetic poetry have survived for over 2,000 years. Now, for those of you who know me, the whole idea of a series about songs probably makes you smile, because you all know I'm not very musical at all. But I do enjoy listening to Christmas music on the radio in the privacy of my own car when I'm driving around town. And so, as I've already pointed out, the tradition of singing at Christmas time is as old as Christmas itself. And we're going to see that the central characters in the Christmas narrative respond to their place in God's plan with expressions of praise and worship. And each of these original lyrics are recorded for us in Luke's gospel. So this morning, we're going to look into the life of Zechariah, the composer of this Christmas chorus. But first, we're going to get behind the music. So if you're taking notes, on the back of the bulletin, the first point is getting behind the music. Now imagine if we lived without any message from God. No Bible, no preaching, only silence. Only silence from God. Now, between the Old and the New Testament, God's people waited 400 years to hear from him. On top of that, the gap between earth and heaven seemed insurmountable. And these are what we theologically call the silent years, these 400 years. And during these silent years, some of God's people were holding on to hope. Others were stuck in ritual and routine. And still others were not even thinking about God and his promises anymore. King Herod had built idols. Immorality was rampant, and spiritual life among God's people had lost its vitality. Kind of sounds like our culture today, doesn't it? Now, if you want to follow along, I'm going to retell the narrative as found in Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 5, down through verse 25. So hopefully you've already found Luke chapter 1 in your Bibles, and maybe you can follow along as I tell this narrative. A priest named Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth lived during this time of darkness and despair. Their lives could be described as gray and gloomy, much like a dull and dreary December day. They had another silence in their life because they had no children. In that culture, not to have a child was considered a curse. Every couple had the hope that the Messiah would come through their family line. Zechariah and his wife felt left out of the loop. Their unmet desires had led to unspoken despair. But then, with little hope, Zechariah was about to hear some words that he could hardly believe. Now, Zacharias was a priest for God, one of 20,000. And 2 weeks out of the year, when his division was on duty, he would travel to Jerusalem for his temple responsibilities. And this time, he was chosen by lot to be the one to enter the holy place and burn incense outside the curtain of the Holy of Holies. This was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity and a huge privilege. Now, Jewish tradition taught that the priest who offered this incense would be rich and holy for the rest of his life. So Zechariah arranges the incense and offers prayers of intercession for the people. And while he's doing that, there's a multitude out in the courtyard praying. They're waiting for him to come back and pronounce the blessing of Aaron, which states, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace." But Zechariah is delayed. As the smoke from the incense shielded his eyes, he thought he saw someone. And then he realized he was face to face with an angel and became afraid. And actually, the text here in Luke chapter 1 says that fear fell upon him. Zechariah was afraid because no one else was supposed to be in this holy place with him. And then, on the right side of the altar, which was considered the side of favor, the angel Gabriel appears. And Gabriel's message has two parts. First, do not be afraid. And then, your prayer has been heard. Gabriel tells Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth that they are going to have a son. And verses 14 and 15 explain what kind of a man this son would turn out to be. And verses 16 and 17 describe the message that this son would preach. Among the jobs this son would be doing is to bring people back to the Lord and to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, which I believe is really needed in our culture today. When Gabriel tells Zechariah that he's going to be a father, Zechariah asks for some sort of a sign. "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in years." Zechariah was really saying, "I can't believe this." The phrase, "I am an old man," that Zechariah uses here is a very emphatic statement. In fact, in verse 19, Gabriel responds by using the same emphatic expression. "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God." Now, Gabriel is no ordinary angel. He was God's special agent, appearing earlier to Daniel and then later to Mary. It's as if Gabriel was saying, "You might be an old geezer in an AARP, but I'm Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. Don't you think God can handle this?" Now, on one hand, Zechariah's question seems valid because he and his wife were really past normal childbearing ages. On the other hand, he should have known better. Zechariah was too busy asking questions and focusing on circumstances to hear God's instructions. Sound familiar? Sometimes I think that's the same way with us. God is trying to get our attention. God is trying to teach us something from his word. God is trying to be able to move us in a certain direction. But we're too busy asking questions and focusing on circumstances to really concentrate on what it is that God is saying to us. Now, Zacharias is going to have 9 months to listen. We see this in verse 20, where it says, "And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens." What's the this? That your son is born. "Because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time." It's interesting that Zechariah asked for a sign, and now for the next 9 months, he had to use sign language to communicate. Now, someone has wondered what the greater miracle here is: Elizabeth having a baby in her old age, or a preacher keeping silent for 9 months. Now, the people standing outside in the courtyard praying are wondering what happened to him, because as he enters into the courtyard, Zechariah can't talk, and he can't hear. He's going to be a new father, and he can't tell anyone. By the way, in the noise of the Christmas madness, do not let the discord of competing sounds and voices keep you from hearing the true music of Christmas. We need to figure out a way, especially during this time of year, to slow down and be quiet. Because if we don't, we'll miss the message of Christmas. Because God likes to speak in the silence. Now, what do you think you would learn if you couldn't speak or hear anything for 9 months? How about 9 weeks? Or 9 days? Maybe 9 hours? What about 9 minutes? For some, it would be tough to be silent for 9 seconds. But we won't talk about that. So we're going to pick up the narrative in Luke chapter 1 and verse 57. Because about 9 months later, guess what happened? The baby's born. Just like God, through the angel Gabriel, said it was going to happen. Now notice here in verse 57 that Zechariah is still deaf and he cannot speak. 8 days later, the whole town comes out to the circumcision ceremony because it's the baby's big day where he enters the covenant community and is given his name. And everyone assumes it's going to be Zechariah Jr. Elizabeth insists, though, that the baby's name is to be called John. The people get all worked up because the firstborn son was almost always named after the father or a relative. John asked for a writing tablet, and to everyone's astonishment, he wrote, "His name is John." In fact, in the Greek, we're told that Zechariah wrote, "John is his name." Interesting, isn't it? And so we're going to spend a few minutes now getting inside the music. We got behind the music. Now we're going to get inside the music. And you should love what happens next. The song in Zechariah's heart explodes with bottled up praise. The first words he says are not directed at his wife or at his family, nor does he talk about sports or the weather. His first response is an exuberant eruption of adoration for God, and all his neighbors are filled with awe. Filled with the Holy Spirit, Zechariah breaks out in prophetic praise. Look at the Christmas chorus in verse 68. "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise will visit us from on high." What is Zechariah doing here? He's blessing God. And he's blessing God for what? Blessing him. Now, wait a minute. How can Zechariah feel blessed? He's just gone 9 months without being able to speak. He's gone 9 months without being able to talk. He's gone 9 months with it being difficult for him to communicate. As a result of that, his priestly duties have been put on the shelf because priests had to be able to what? Communicate. They had to be able to communicate to the people. They had to be able to communicate God's word to those that were coming to the temple. They had to be able to pray on behalf of the people to God. They had to communicate. He's not been able to do that for 9 months. And now he's able to speak. He's able to hear. And what's the first thing that he does? He blesses God for blessing him. I'm afraid that probably sometime this month, when you gather around the Christmas trees, when you gather for family gatherings, and you see the presents that are under the tree, when you see the presents that might be scattered around the house or around the place that you are gathering, that you're going to think that you're blessed because your name is on some of those presents. But that's not what Christmas is all about. We're not blessed because of the number of presents that we have at Christmas time. We are blessed because of the ultimate, most important present that was ever given. The most important gift that God could give to us as human beings. That was the gift of his son who came to this earth to be our Savior. And when we come to the place of believing in Him as Savior, we are truly, truly blessed. So it doesn't matter how many Christmas presents there are with your name on it, because God loved us so much that He sent His one and only Son to this earth, that whoever believes in Him will not be separated from Him forever, but will have everlasting life. What a present, what a blessing that is. Zechariah is blessing God for blessing him. And these verses capture the main theme of this Christmas chorus. And what's that main theme? Did you see the word? The word is visit. Did you see that the word visit is used twice? And this word visit here means to visit personally. This word was used in the sense of seeing someone in a bad situation and then personally helping them by providing a solution. That's what God did. That's what God did for every single one of us. God saw us in our sin-filled condition and sent His Son to come and visit us and go to the cross for us. Now, this word visit can also be translated as to tent upon. And this is exactly what John tells us in John chapter 1, verse 14, where John says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." That word dwelt means to tent with us, to abide with us, to dwell with us, to live with us, to be with us. That ties itself back to the incarnation, which the incarnation is all about Emmanuel, God with us, coming to dwell with us. This is what Christmas is all about. Jesus came to save us from our sins. And as Zechariah looks down at his baby boy, he knows that help is on the way. Somehow his son would prepare the way for the one who is the way. And the long wait is now over. The Messiah is going to come. The promised Savior is going to come. And Zechariah here mentions God's saving purpose in four separate ways. First, he talks about redemption. In verse 68, he has come and redeemed his people. And the word redeem here means to release from bondage through the payment of a price. Sound familiar? That's what Jesus did for us. And then he talks about salvation. In verse 69, he says, God has raised up a horn of salvation for us. Now, Zechariah here is not, even though he's giving this Christmas chorus, he's not talking about a musical instrument when he talks about the horn. He's actually talking about the weapon of a wild animal. Because the horn of a wild animal symbolized both strength and victory, as the animal's strength was concentrated in its horn. Likewise, God's strength is concentrated in Jesus, who defeated Satan, pierced death, and gutted sin. And it's that power and strength that saves us for eternal life and protects us. Not only does he talk about redemption, not only does he talk about salvation, he talks about rescue. He talks about in verse 71, salvation from our enemies. He talks about in 74, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies. And then he also talks about forgiveness. In verse 77, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. Zechariah is telling us that Jesus did not visit this planet simply to see how we were doing. He knew how we were doing. That's why he came. We were in sin, and Jesus came to be the suffering Savior for us. And this is what Christmas is all about. And did you notice that there are only two verses in this entire chorus that have to do with Zechariah's own son? And the bulk of this chorus has to do with God's own son,
Jesus, the Savior. Don't miss that important aspect. So what do we learn from this morning? Well, I want to give you three words that I believe embrace the substance of Christmas as we've saw and listened to this Christmas chorus of Zechariah. The first word is sin. What? Pastor, everything about Christmas is so festive. Everything about Christmas is so happy. Everything about Christmas is so wonderful and so special. And you're talking about we need to embrace sin this Christmas? Yes, we do, because that's the problem with all of us. Romans chapter 3 and verse 10 says, none is righteous. No, not one. Anybody sitting in this room can consider yourself to be righteous? Good answer. None of us. And so that's why there's a Christmas. That's why we remember and celebrate what God has done through Jesus for us. He came not because we were good people. He came because we were cursed with sin. He came because there was a, as Jared already reminded us, there was a debt of sin that we owed that we couldn't possibly pay. And so God sent to us his son to be able to come to this earth, to be able to be born, to be able to grow to be a man so that he could be the perfect sacrifice to pay all of the debt of our sin, not just some of it, but all of it. And so I think it's fitting that this Christmas, part of the words that we embrace is that of sin. Because if there wasn't any sin, there wouldn't have been need for a Savior. And that's the second word to embrace this Christmas. Because Savior is the greatest gift ever given. Listen to 1 John chapter 4, verse 10. In this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. In a theological sense, that word propitiation means satisfaction. What Jesus did by going to the cross to be your substitute, to be my substitute, to pay your debt of sin, to pay my debt of sin, to pay the debt of sin for the whole world, that satisfied God's requirements for the payment of sin. And then the third word is salvation. Salvation made available to all who believe in Jesus as Savior. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. It is the what? Gift of God. You see, Christmas, our focus oftentimes is on the gifts that are underneath the tree or the gifts that we give to one another at Christmas gatherings. But I believe the focus should be on the gift that God has given to us, the gift of salvation. Because it is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that none of us may boast. Father, I'm so thankful that you've given us the opportunity this morning to be able to listen to the chorus of Christmas as given to us by your servant, Zechariah. And Father, I pray that we will embrace these words, that Christmas maybe this year would have more meaning to us. Because we look at Christmas this year from not a worldly perspective, but from your perspective. Father, you loved us so much that you gave the very best gift that heaven had to offer, the gift of your Son. He came to be able to give us the gift of salvation for all who believe in him as Savior. Father, may that be said of every single one of us this day and in the days yet to come. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Would you all stand with me for this last song? God is good, and Jesus is worthy of our praise.
All hail King Jesus. All hail Emmanuel, the King of Satan.